Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, broadcasting live here from globalist-occupied Mother Kanatistan. And today is August the 29th, 2015, on this live edition. And we have a guest. We've got Speaker Phil Ryerson here. And Phil Ryerson ran for mayor here in Hamilton, Ontario. But we also have Daniel back from his excursion out to the... was it conspiracy culture where they headed, or was just they put it on?
Yeah, conspiracy culture put on their big event because it was their 9th anniversary. The actual store, I guess, started 9 years ago.
Right.
But now, the store now is too small to have a big event, so they got to they added a different venue.
So this is a store. It's like a bookstore, and they sell other stuff like what, DVDs, T-shirts, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, all conspiracy related and like truth stuff and JFK, 9/11, and all kinds of health
so
books and the
basically,
UFO and all that.
All the books and stuff that you won't find at the bookstore.
Yeah, exactly. Cryptozoology and stuff like that.
Yeah, most of the books you'd find there, you won't find at Chapters, Indigo, at Kohl's bookstore. And you'll even have a hard time trying to special order it through them. They'll, they're going to be reluctant.
Yeah, they got a good website too because they're updating the headlines all the time.
So they put on an event.
Ultra.com.
So these guys put on an event with George Nori from Coast to Coast and
yeah,
Alex
he's
Jones.
The host. So I guess this is the fourth annual one. So they do one every year. But this is the first time where they brought in Alex Jones as the special guest, as well as Nick Pope, a guy who talks about UFOs. He was the first guest. And then they kept everyone basically waiting to see Alex Jones because nobody was sure if he would show up. Just because he had trouble in Canada before, right? It was a famous trip when he's filming the Bilderberg Group in Ottawa. And he got in trouble at the border or something, or at immigration and customs. But
yeah, wasn't that in the film Endgame when he went to the Bilderberg meeting in Ottawa?
Yeah, they showed in that movie. But this time it seemed like he just got through, seemed fine, except he did mention he had some trouble with his passport. That he had misplaced his passport or something. So I guess he wasn't there at the beginning for the VIP meet and greet, which was supposed to be earlier in the day at 3 p.m. But he did show up. And basically it's like a whole crowded venue because it's actually down at the CNE, the venue, the Queen Elizabeth Theater. So it's like the circus is in town. It's like basically it's a big carnival. It's right in between the farm building where they have all the animals, like farm animals in like cages and the Midway, where they got all those games.
Okay, that's a bit of a strange place to have it, it seems, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, yeah, and they had the football game on as well, or Toronto soccer League MLS game, because it's right, the stadium's down there, and the X is on, and it was pretty crazy down there, but.
So, did you get any coverage of it down there? Any video?
Yeah, I got a few clips, but I didn't wait around until after. Basically, everyone was waiting for Alex Jones. Nobody was sure if he'd make it. They even did a fake Skype video, as if he wasn't able to make it. So he's like third time appearing now via Skype, Alex Jones. And then he made some joke about how he had a teleporter and he was going to actually show up there. And then they like turned off all the lights, did a searchlight, and then he was in the audience. So he walked down through the audience like it was like a big heroic entrance.
Mm.
it was a hero's welcome, and you know, they did a few jokes. One thing was, well, George Norrie also does songs, so it was part of the event. It was like a concert, sort of. And they had the live band there. And then he also, the comedy portion, he did the same joke a few times. It was and he said it was a roughly $200 budget joke. Involved a Donald Trump wig and a Hillary Clinton mask. So first George Norrie comes out wearing them, and then he throws them out the crowd. So then he said, whoever catches it's got to come up wearing either the wig or the mask.
Right.
And then when Alex Jones was on stage, he had to bring him out again just to, just to show Alex Jones in case he missed it.
Right. He redid the joke for specifically for Alex. Okay.
So they had that joke a few times, and I guess Donald Trump was one of the main topics of discussion just because he's the big guy in politics right now. So Jones said he's going to watch him cautiously.
Well, I kind of agree with that. And all I have to say on that matter is China. 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 China.
I've heard of them somewhere in the news.
And he did say that Donald Trump, he's not sure. He said Donald Trump might just be a businessman who's who sees that, you know, America's going down in the world economically, and he wants to get in there to turn it on as a business powerhouse. But
well,
not sure about
he's never
that.
Claimed personal bankruptcy, but he has claimed business bankruptcy four times, though.
Yeah. And then if the president is like a the CEO of America, then could do it again.
Well, me and my buddy out here, we put something on our Facebook. I don't know if you guys want to check it out or not, but it's Catherine Wynn with Andrea Horvath talking to Donald Trump about China, and it's pretty exhilarating on our Facebook. If you want to just check it out, either one of them.
Well, you can try. Facebook already blocked the one video. We had to put it on another. Yeah, we had to put it on another video server somewhere else. So,
that's what I mean about China.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why, also, I guess, why Trudeau would get ahead in the books, because he doesn't have the admiration for China as a basic dictatorship.
I thought the NDP did, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, you figure with Jack Layton and
Olivia Chow?
Yeah, like you figure with that there, you figure it'd be the NDP fighting in that area.
Oh, they're all kissing up to China. The yeah. Conservatives, the Liberals, the NDP. But yeah, any other highlights? How was the event?
No, it was pretty good. There was there's that same joke that went on a few times. There's like basically things started a bit late, I think, because the band, I guess George Norrie's backup band, even at one point said we're just killing time when they're on stage. So it was like nobody was sure if Alex Jones would even show up. And then when he did, that's what heightened the crowd even more, because everyone was figuring he just wouldn't make it through, you know, just because he said basically I think he's had a lot of people call into the show from Canada, ask him if he's going to come back. And he had said for years he's never coming back. But now it seems like he will. He even said that Canada should annex the U.S. So you're seeing the growth of Kanadistan. If Alex Jones now is praising Canada. He asked if he should take a – he said he loves the – he says Toronto's a beautiful city. He loves the lake. Should he – he goes, tomorrow should I head down there and – dip my feet in or something, and then somebody yells out it's polluted.
Yeah, don't I know, he said he was swimming. Where were they swimming, at Center Island? I saw a video, he said he was going one of the Toronto islands, probably Center Island, or, you know, they get the rides for the kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. We used to go there as a kid, but that water, I don't know, I wouldn't swim in Lake Ontario.
Well, he probably might just go to the nude beach.
If you want a dock or something built, and you're gonna pay me big bucks, I'll go in that water, build you a dock. But other than that, you better be paying me some big bucks to get in that lake. Lake Erie, no way. Lake Ontario is not as bad, but still, Lake Erie flows into Lake Ontario. Mm-hmm. So
either way, you're gonna bang into a car or a truck. Either way,
yeah,
no. It's called underwater. Well, there was
the tritium dumps too.
Underwater parking.
Yeah, well, there's also the bacteria. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the swimmer's itch going on, and it can be a nightmare. No fun.
Well, you know, guys, you guys know how I am. Called myself the quiet guy of Hamilton, Ontario, out here, and I have decided to make myself even more quieter on September 27, 2015, from 6 to 8 at Woodlands Park. Wentworth and Barton, activist and speaker Phil Ryerson speaks out for the first time to the public. And I'll be talking about a lot of different things over there, like infrastructure, bullying program, how to deal with slumlords, Catholic and Protestant children's aid, government corruption, you know, police corruption, a couple of things that need to be under address here in Hamilton, Ontario, with a few different matters.
Is it going to be a potty talk style conference, or is it family friendly?
Well, I think that since I'm dealing with the children's aid and everything like that, I think at the end I'll make some potty talk comments. But like, but for the meantime of the real thing, like I'm there to get people and show them that I have a plan for them all together. And when they show up and they hear my plan, they'll understand where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And slumlords all around the city are not going to like me, no matter who they are. I can assure you the Catholic and Protestant Children's Aid already are my fan club.
So this is September 27th, 2015, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Woodlands Park. That's at Wentworth and Barton, activist and speaker Phil Ryerson.
Well, so I think the hardest part about it all is going to be able to show police corruption and government corruption. Like, that's going to be the toughest part for me to come up with.
You can't go on Facebook or YouTube without it just cramming, it just jamming up your news feed, right? You're like, you start unsubscribing from places because you're like sick of seeing it, and it just still shows up. You're like, okay, hey, look, it's the police are shooting another person on Facebook again, or whatever it is today.
Well, myself, I call them all rent-a-cops. You can rent a cop faster than you can get one to protect and serve today, almost. You know, if you look at it at the sport events, now they're crossing guards, now they're security guards, now they're every type of guard there is, except for protecting and serve.
Well, yeah, not only can you hire, say, a private security guard or a private investigator for your own security, it would be costly, but companies can go out and then hire the cops. The police force that you're paying for, I mean, they pay extra, I'm assuming they do pay extra, but I thought those were supposed to be our police.
Well, let's be honest with it. Like, you know, like all of a sudden they're coming from an event and going right over into work. You know, like there has to be a separate organization for this that is, of course, not part of the G20 or any of the rest of it. But, you know, like they're taking away security jobs away from people. This is normally a security job thing. And all of a sudden the police are coming out here just stealing jobs. They already make $92,000 a year. But in the North End, we're seeing people get shot over there. But, you know, like you'll see them come out there and talk about consensual sex. You'll see them come out there and talk about sex ed, curricular system, all these other things. But not a bullying program. I myself want to bring in something like a boot camp here. I think it would be great. I think the people that have lost children out here would also think it'd be great, you know, to save other children out here. And this is what it's about. I realized during the time I'm mentioning this, we're going to have the CAS going, oh, no, 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 that's too cruel. Well, carrying a child isn't any better. I want to assure them of it. I plan on being more real there than anything. But like I said, I have some friends going there, and they want to see some sort of potty talk there. So I'm going to give them a couple of songs. The one song will be Crime of the Century. You know, like that'll be with the other. And the other song will be Face to Face by Peter Townsend. And I can assure you, you know, there's a few pictures there, like, you know, I'm going to have Obama kissing someone and stuff like that. This has already been on there. all these things are on there already. So, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what type of videos I can come up with.
So what, you're going to have some type of video display?
Well, yeah, of course. But, you know, like more or less, I'm going to be showing like the people what we could do against slumlords more than anything in the Children's Aid, which are really picking on nothing but the poor people, which I come out here and fight for more than anything. And my plan for these slumlords is that I will be representing people for free. I've been blackballed through the whole city for some reason of having a real job. Some reason our city hall doesn't think I'm capable of anything. So, you know. But I'm going to come out there and explain a different infrastructure for our city that they're not coming up with.
Well, in terms of the slumlord thing, you should be able to get a lot of people in this area down there because of that. But, I mean...
Well, let's face it, bed bugs have become an academic here. You know, like they're just spraying and spraying and it's not making a big deal. There's other situations that they could be doing for it too, you know, and they're not doing it. This has to deal with it. Now, today you can go take a course, I believe it's for 2 hours, pay $2,000, and now you can spray your own house. So your landlord, your owner can spray your own house. Well, that must have took a lot of degree to do that.
Well, it could be as simple as you just pay the money and now you have a certificate.
Basically.
So, I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's another extortion racket. The government bans the pesticides that'll kill it and then, licenses all these pest killer guys.
Well, let's face it. The city of Hamilton today sprays with vinegar for pesticides. Are they trying to clean the blood?
Yeah, they'd probably be better off with chrysanthemum oil than vinegar. I don't know.
Well, you know, and this is how ridiculous it has become. They're sitting there saying that it's killing animals. I don't know. I don't have any deers in my bed for bed bugs. I don't have any animals in my bed for bed bugs. So, you know, like whatever excuse they're coming out with. But
well, you never know when a deer might go running through your bedroom and start grazing on your carpet or grazing on, your sheets or your comforter. And then the deer could get sick. I mean, I don't know. It's absurd.
But I know for one thing, I guess what happened with me, and I show people on my Facebook how to treat people when they come to your house, try to lie. I guess one person sends a guy over, the owner of the place, the slumlord who I'm dealing with right now. He finds me a joy. I want to assure you of it. So what happens is a guy comes over to my house and he starts saying how he knows everything about cockroaches, but not bed bugs. Telling me I want too much fixed in the place. Telling me I want all these things done. Telling me not to raise my voice in my own house. So he was told to get out, and that was F right out of my house quickly. And I shared it on Facebook, and not too many people complain about me on Facebook. And that's because they all know me. So what happened was the gentleman said that I hit him and he called the police. So I looked at all the paperwork and I noticed that the owner's corporation number wasn't there or his signature. So the guy did all the paperwork himself, telling me that he has full authorization of his own signature being there. The guy also that he sends to my house has a real lizard on top of his hat. And these people are there to fix my house. This is a slumlord tactic where they call the police on you, saying that you do all these things, trying to make you get scared to get out. Do not move. Do not get scared. It's just, they can't do nothing. All you say to the police, this is a tribunal matter and nothing more. They were in my house. You're allowed to defend your own house. No matter if it's the owner, you have the right to kick him out. Just because they go, oh, I have a right to come in there, doesn't mean they really do.
So this video is up on your Facebook, Phil. Phil Ryerson here from Hamilton, Ontario. He ran for mayor in the last election of Hamilton. And it was interesting because watching this video was the weirdest thing I ever saw. You're basically telling the guy, like, pointing around the baseboards and you're filming the whole thing. And you're, you know, showing them where you see them coming out from behind the baseboards. And there's all these big cracks and gaps. Like, most places, it's all been caulked or... you know, at least installed properly where there's not big gaps everywhere. But this place, you can see there's big gaps everywhere. And so Phil's telling him, and he's like pointing all the way around, like you got to re-caulk the whole thing. And anyways, the guy was telling him no and this and arguing with Phil. And this guy is not an exterminator. And he's not some licensed repairman or anything like that. He's not an exterminator. He's just some Joe Blow guy from down the road that his landlord knows. And then he doesn't have proper written permission to even come in to see the place. So now he's arguing with Phil over whether or not the baseboards need to be caulked. And then the guy tells Phil in his own house to lower his voice, to keep it down. And that's when things went south. He didn't have the right to be there in the first place. And then even if he did have the proper authority to be in there to do repairs, you don't go into a place and then start bossing around the tenants, telling them at what volume to have their voice at.
Well, you figure most people that come to fix your place, they want to do get as much work in there as they can and make as much as they can. Not this guy. He's coming there to argue with me with Lizard Boy with it on his hat.
Yeah, now this is the crazy part. Is that Phil tells me there's a guy with a lizard in the on his head. And I'm like, a lizard on his head? So I go back, I watch the video. And sure enough, there's some young guy walking around with this Joe Blow from down the street, pretending to be the maintenance man or the exterminator. Who knows what he is today? Maybe he's a crossing guard today. But he's got a guy with a lizard, a big lizard, coiled up on his head, a real live one. And I mean, it's all on video. It's the most absurd thing ever. I never seen anything like it.
You see some of those characters though walking around Young and Dundas like they're carrying a snake or a lizard or maybe a rat or.
Well, it's okay, but not to fix someone's house with.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. You got a pet snake or a lizard or whatever, and you take it out. That's normal. You know, it may look odd, but it's normal. But you don't go to work to do repair jobs, supposedly, if that's what you do, wearing a lizard. What is that? Your hard hat?
Well, like,
I got my lizard hard hat on.
Like, what's the lizard going to do? Hold the nail with his tongue? Like,
see, if the actual safety, the safety department got a hold of this, they'd mandate that the lizard wore a hard hat and that the person wore a hard hat that's wearing the lizard on their head.
So well, I've after this incident, the following Monday, I kind of helped him out a little bit. I give him a couple letters. Showing that I was his ex-property manager and I know what is going on out here. And I give him a letter stating that his roof has asbestos all over it. And I phoned a building inspector last week. I'm going to be able to report him after this week, this Tuesday, and I'll be calling him as soon as possible. Now they call it the building standards. It's no longer a building inspector. They're building standards. I guess they have to change the paperwork. Try and confuse the people even more is out here. Of all their little changes. But so what's going to happen is that this guy's like 70 years old. And it's not because of fear of me putting a private peace bond on this gentleman. The fact of the matter is that these slumlords are going to try and use every tactic that they can. They're going to tell the police there's drugs there. They're going to tell the police that they have too many people there. They're going to come out there with all these lies. But none of it will ever have video surveillance. None of it. But I have plans for all these slumlords out there, and I look forward to working against all of them. To Evertrust, DeSantis, to Hamilton Housing, I was just reading in the paper how they have homes in Hamilton Housing here. And we have people in the Wesley Center. We have people in women's shelters that's waiting to get Hamilton Housing. But they're hanging on to them for some reason. Maybe for Lent. Christmas is coming. But how about giving some of these people over who have been waiting a long time? Because there's supposed to be something like 1,200 to 2,800, something like that, houses out there for these people to have places. And I'm sitting there going, how come they haven't went to these people yet to give them a place who have been waiting so long? The one person goes, well, they do drugs. And I'm going, what else do they have? They don't even have a place to sleep. I go, picture your life living like that. And they've been waiting for so long there and nothing is happening for them.
Well, I think it's better for them to have a place to go and do their habits instead of doing it out on the street, which a lot of people don't like to see in a city, no matter where you are. Maybe they just want to, give them the room, let them do what they want inside their own rooms, have their own privacy and stuff like that. And
there's a public safety issue with it because you got people that use needles. that become homeless. And so say, you know, the average conservative or libertarian or anarchist is, you know, this doesn't affect me. What do I care? Well, it does affect you the minute you accidentally step on some dirty needle walking through the park, and now you got HIV. So there is a somewhat of an issue with these people having, you know, I don't know what the solution is. You know, I'm not saying the solution is paying people to run around picking up needles after them and provide them with a building to go inject in, but there is a problem. If we leave it the way it is, there'll be heroin needles, dirty used needles all over the parks.
How do you expect a person to change when they have nowhere to go, though? They have to have give them the chance to show themselves. This is the whole idea. I've known people that have changed. Tons of people that have changed. But these people deserve a chance to absolutely have the right to change. What, are we going to have other people from other countries having those places before the people that have been waiting 5 years?
Well, that's what happens in the United States and Canada, is like all the subsidized housing and housing for poor people. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, the point is that Canadians and Americans, they're the last on the list to get the housing, especially if they're white Canadians or Americans. Usually the immigrants will get it first, and then all the minorities next, followed by the white people. And I don't know.
I wish I could get a grant as fast, even for my own business, to hire housing than an immigration again.
Anyways, gentlemen, we got a break coming up right after this.
We are engaged in an information war.
We cannot be effective at major economic matters any longer unless we work with our other economic partners around the world and work with them closely and intimately. That is essential. I know some people don't like it. It's a loss of national sovereignty, but it is a simple reality. It is a simple reality.
Broadcasting worldwide from globalist-occupied Mother Kanatistan, it's Angry Beaver Radio, live Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, only here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
There's a level of admiration I actually have for China, because their basic dictatorship.
He talked about admiring a dictatorship.
The University of Tennessee is now promoting gender-neutral pronouns, as friends Michael Harrington reports.
With an increasing number of students claiming to be transgender, gender-fluid, and questioning, school officials are apparently very concerned about offending anyone by using the wrong pronoun. So they're asking everybody on campus to start using terms such as ze, zem, and zir in place of he, him, and her. Professors are also supposed to call the roll in class and ask each student what pronoun they prefer. Some say it's going to be a pretty confusing semester at UT. Michael Harrington, SRN News.
The American Civil Liberties Union says it's filing a lawsuit challenging Nevada's broad new education savings account program. The suit asserts that the new law violates a portion of the Nevada Constitution that bans using public funds for sectarian purposes. The group says the program will use taxpayer dollars for religious indoctrination at private schools that discriminate in admissions and employment. This is SRN News. Donald Trump holds a sizable lead over all others in the first Southern primary. And that, according to the latest poll coming out of South Carolina, where he has a lead several times greater than any of his closest rivals. Hundreds of American rabbis from around the country are planning to travel to Capitol Hill next month to hand deliver to lawmakers a letter arguing against the Iran nuclear deal.
The letter, signed by about 1,000 American rabbis, reads, "Together, we are deeply troubled by the proposed deal and believe this agreement will harm the short-term and long-term interests of both the United States and our allies, particularly Israel." Organizers say the rabbis will come to Washington starting on September 8th.
That's SRN's Linda Kenyon. An emergency meeting today in Paris of interior ministers and transport officials from nine countries to rethink train security. That's after American passengers intervened to thwart an Islamic extremist attack on a Paris-bound train. More details at SRNnews.com.
Radio Ranch with Robert Sales, Monday through Friday on Truth Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Welcome to Detroit City. I said welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go. Man, we deep, everywhere we roll.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio, broadcasting live from Slumlord City, Globalist Occupied. And that would be Hamilton. That would be Canada's Detroit. Canada's version of Detroit. We even filmed RoboCop here and passed it off as being Detroit. So, I mean, that's how bad it's getting. So anyway, we're talking about the Slumlords. Here in Kanatistan and in Hamilton specifically, but I'm sure the slumlord thing goes all the way all around the world, because as Agenda 21 gets further implemented, you're going to have more and more slumlords, and everyone's going to get more and more crammed together and renting out instead of owning, and this is the way it's going, and they're going to slum it out as
well,
best
they can.
Here's
their main catch is people not paying their rent. I'm going to suggest people right now to not give them the money, but give it over to the tribunal. They are allowed to have the money. Now, they're allowed to wait 3 to 4 days afterwards, or as soon as it hits the second, they can give you the paper. You know, and most of the time, the paper is incorrect. There's always a money change. There's always something wrong with it. People just don't see it this way. These are all technicalities. I could put it over for another month. These are all technicalities to help you get you the money back and other matters. People are just not together in a lot of different matters, and I hope to change this coming out here against these slumlords. It'll take a lot of people to do it, but once we get our point across, they'll get the message.
Well, I mean, it's slowly becoming a nation of renters. It isn't quite yet, but the percentage of people renting versus owning is getting higher and higher. But even the ownership is a falsehood, because the homeowner has to pay property tax. If they don't keep up with that property tax, the government will take their house and sell it. Well, so then you don't really own it, do you?
Well, and that's what it's called. But most of the people, they have to pay it off automatically. So this is where the catch is. You have 2 weeks to pay that off to get a sales tax property. So 9 out of 10, and usually a person. But what we have mostly happening here is that we're getting them from Brampton, getting them from Toronto, Mississauga, Oakville. A lot of slumlords coming over here, having their corporation numbers, turning around, trying not to do anything. We have different laws over here in Hamilton, and they get away with a little more here than over in other cities, and I can't figure that out. And this is why, you know, Hamilton, Ontario is coming more like a slum city like Detroit. Are they shutting our water off? When is that happening? You know, that's the whole other thing.
Well, how about some cities like Burlington?
Well, Burlington's a way different city than Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I want to assure you of it. Like, it's way different. Like, right now, like, every taxi driver here in Hamilton is going crazy. Ubers came over here. That's what I call them. I go, Ubers came over here and they took it away. They've even given out free drives here in Hamilton to their customers and stuff.
Huh.
And I'm going to be coming out there with a few catches against all three of the businesses and what is really the main problem here. And to all the people out there, you know, like if you have your friends that are going out there, you know, and if you don't want to be at the bar with them, why don't you just make 10, 15 bucks, pick up your buddies and take them home anyways? They're your friends. You're only going to talk to them anyways. What's the difference? You know, like, why pay Uber, who is all of a sudden on a Friday and Saturday, who jack up their prices? Well, if you can't get your buddy to do it, you might as well take an ordinary cab to start. You know, so, like, what I'm going to be explaining is how to take advantage of all three businesses for the people. And what the real problem is through City Hall in the taxi industry here that is not for the drivers.
Well, here's the thing. If Uber can skirt its way around the taxi laws through the loopholes, one could just look at the loopholes. Then, yeah, they don't have a meter. What's the other thing? I don't think they accept cash.
Well, they don't. They only accept...
What's to stop any independent person from doing the exact same thing Uber's doing on their own independent thing without Uber at all? Just
Well, there's nothing, to be honest with you, besides, you know, all of a sudden you're in a car, you get pulled over. What are you doing? I'm driving this person. Who are they? We don't know. But, you know, like taxis owners have been scammed by our government for a long time. Uber's went around all these methods to where they don't have to pay anything. No taxi driver license, no nothing like that. They don't have to pay insurance through them, even though they have their own insurance. But altogether, like, you know, they still have their own drivers having their own insurance. There's nobody doing anything with it. We have the owners over there who, you know, get away with not fixing their cars. And here comes Uber with nicer cars. And all these things are starting to happen. But do we really need any of them when we could just ask our friends for a drive? This is the whole question. Like, pretty soon, there are not going to be cars on our road. You know, like, they're already saying, like, some parts of Edmonton, I believe, and some parts of Winnipeg, they're already going without gas there.
The other thing is nobody would need Uber or their friends to drive them or even need a taxi cab. Now, I guess you'd have some people that wouldn't be able to drive that would need a friend to drive them or something. But if the government didn't make it artificially so expensive to drive in the first place... If all you had to do was put your vehicle on the road and put gas in it and keep it running, and pretty much anyone, minimum wage or anything, could afford a used vehicle and drive it around. But because of insurance rates and all the licensing and all this other nonsense, it's through the roof.
Well, this is the other problem that is out here. Like, and everything is going through the roof. You know, like, for a person today to survive out here, like, on... You know, like I am with a single parent and stuff like that. It is literally impossible, you know. And my buddy goes, you know, like, there's McDonald's. And I'm going, you think I'm going to let some 20-year-old kid tell me what to do? I'm going, you know. I go, you'll be getting a Big Mac off the head. I'm going, no. And I'm sitting there saying, I believe my qualifications are a lot more than that. I said that I've been hidden by our government for a long time. Even during the debates, they would never invite me to one. You know, like I said, they came out there and they asked Ajaz Butt, why does he want to remove the Privacy Act? And he came out there and he goes, I don't think it should happen. That's it. That's final. Well, that's a genius move of him. But I figure the main reason is because we have scandals inside of our city hall. And all these meetings would no longer be only on, as they call it, camera private meetings. But we would know about asphalt scandals we have out here. We would know about water scandals we have out here because it would all be in front of us. And this is the whole problem here in Hamilton, Ontario. And we only get bits and pieces of what is really going on. And we never know the truth. But if we took away and brought back to where we were able to ask questions inside of our city hall and confront people about questions, that's a little too real for our city hall to deal with. And, of course, the person that they voted back in there was the same person who voted in the Privacy Act. Figure that one out.
So this Privacy Act allows them to have these meetings behind closed doors without public scrutiny?
Well, this goes for light rail transit that they're coming here with. This goes for any type of building going up. This goes for anything, you know. The only thing that they don't hide is changing bylaw codes. Because this is how they're trying to take away our rights of freedom of expression, is by using the bylaw codes against us. People are sitting there going, oh, you might get charged for this, you might get charged for that. There's no charges involved, they're just fines. You know, and the most that they can do is take your license away from you. So if you don't drive, it doesn't matter. So what's the biggest difference anyways? Okay, give me $1 million in fines. I won't pay it. Why would I care? I just won't never drive again.
Yeah, well, it's like some of the no smoking signs and the fines. I think I was there in Barrie, Ontario, on the beach and downtown there, and there was a fine. I can't recall. This was a few years ago, and I think it said $80,000. I think it said $80,000 fine for smoking cigarettes on the beach.
which are legal to smoke.
Yeah, but apparently not on the beach. 80,000. I mean, nobody in Barrie, Ontario. It's like a bedroom community. So anyone making a half decent wage is probably commuting to Toronto. You know, nobody's going to have 80 grand to pay this fine. So nobody's even going to pay the fine. And like, again, so they don't pay the fine, and eventually, you know, they can't renew their license. They can't get license stickers for their plate. It affects their driving. They can't get to work. Next thing, you know, it screws their whole life up because, you know, you caught smoking a cigarette on the beach and got a fine that you couldn't even pay.
Well, here's a little tip for everybody getting smokes from the Indian reserves here. And the first thing you want to do, no matter if you have a box, no matter what you want to do, is ask for a receipt. So let's say you're driving, a police officer pulls you over. Well, no, here's my receipt. I'm going to claim it. Now, they can't do anything because you're going to claim the tax. But how are they going to know that if you really claim the taxes or not? And this is the other catch to it. So to anybody out there, just make sure that you get a receipt for all the reserve smokes you buy or anything off of there. And say that you're going to claim it on your taxes, and you'll be on your way.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, you know, I do understand the law a little more than what people are thinking. And like I said, like, you know, when I come out here and speak, if they don't think that I'm putting up the freedom of expression law and some of the bylaw codes that they changed here in Hamilton, Ontario, people are going to find me a little different there. This is really the first time I've come out in public. I look forward to having a big crowd there. But I can assure you I'll be starting off with Slumlords and the Children's Aid right off the hop, because this is the main reason why people are coming to see me. Because the smaller people don't know how to deal with things, their rights of dealing with things. And I'm going to start teaching us how we can deal with things all together. And it's going to make a difference for the city. And no matter who we are, we can't do it by ourselves. And like I said, I'm blackballed from this city from having a real job. So I might as well come out here and represent the people for free through the license, through the rental tribunal. And let's make a difference out here together.
Yeah.
So this isn't a campaign event, a 2015 campaign.
Oh, no. This is just me coming out there. You know, I'm going to be asking people, of course, you know, a no vote is a Phil Ryerson vote. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like after I show government corruption. Now, this government corruption will be from CPAC and them just telling on each other. You know, like if you want to charge me for them telling each other that you owe $100 million and you owe $100 million and you owe $100 million, and they're all going, oh, well, you take an oath. They've done this before they got in there, and if they have to keep taking more and more oaths, what's the sense of being signed in and put in there? I've never figured out that oath stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm coming out here to speak for the people. Coming out here to work with them and how they have their rights out here. And it's going to be a big change for the people out here that have had no one out here to fight for them. And I hear them all the time going, what do I do here? What do I do here? Well, now you're going to know what to do. And it's going to make a difference. I'll tell all you people something right now. If the Jones A come to your house and the police are there and they have drugs, the first thing I want you to do, pick up that phone, call a relative who doesn't have any drugs there, have them come and get their relative. You know, in situations like this, you have to straighten out your own self. But at least you know where that child is and what family member it is with than letting it go somewhere to where you don't know where it may not be.
The CPS, I'm kind of wondering about that organization, if it's similar to other organizations that steal the children and sell them off as underage sex slaves and all this stuff into, you know, the world of porn into the world.
I don't know about that, but it's almost as bad, it would seem, because some of these kids are taken from, you know, say a parent who was caught smoking marijuana or had marijuana in the house, and they're drug abusers. So they take the kid out of a loving family. They send it off to foster care, to a foster home. And the foster parents have a high rate of being engaged in pedophile activity.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was bringing up.
So it's not that the CPS are knowingly doing it. At least we hope not.
Well, the main problem is that when you have Catherine Wynne come out there and tell the people publicly that the Catholic and public children's aid do not talk to each other, so this means that they don't do it through adoption agencies, they don't do it through foster parenting, but we have an organization out here called COAST who can make that phone call to see if anything like this is happening. But altogether, the children's aid have to be slowing down. All they are is informants for the police, and I want people to know, if they sit there and say, we're going to call the police, you go right ahead. But just to let you know, that's called abuse of power. They don't have a right to do this. They don't even have a right to talk to you. They have no rights, really, whatsoever, besides the ones you want to give them. So your first thing you don't do is let them in the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, the family court system that supposedly gives this children's aid, child protective services, the authority, comes from the UN. And it is very similar. It is the same deal in all these countries like Australia, over in Britain, United States, Canada. It's the same system coming from the same arseholes, and it is about taking people's kids.
Well, the Catholic and Protestant children aid have more court cases going on right now for abuse inside of their care than what more people understand that is really happening out here. This is a main problem out here. But if you have a problem with the Catholic Children's Aid, now I'll be showing myself as a representative of what to do through here and what I've done. And I want to share you right now, I'm 50 years old now, and I will not be talking to them. I'm going to show you how, through the schools, how they never go there again to talk to the child. So if they can't talk to the child and they can't talk to you, what are they going to do? And I'd like you to remember, if you can remain silent with the police, who are they?
Mm-hmm.
They are really nothing to be really scared of. The only time they really come in, and I'll be telling people right there, no matter how much you don't like a person, the last thing you want to do is send these people there to where they have more jobs out here, more creations, and they're not really all that bright themselves in anything besides the schooling. Well, I can show them some real life situations that they wouldn't even know how to deal with themselves. And this is the whole problem out here. They go buy a book. You know, like now they have time out. Now you're in the red zone. Now you're in the green zone. I was telling my niece about red light, green light for years. And all of a sudden, you know, when she turned 18, she had a child. Well, I guess it didn't work that well. But at least she was old enough to understand it then. So, you know, like all these things our parents taught us. It's just ridiculous how this organization and the government is paying millions of dollars for their lawyers. Millions of dollars for their cases. And I myself want to slow down this organization. And it's about time someone had to do it because our government is sitting back. Now, I remember a police officer going, you have to go through the floor mat, Phil. And I'm going, there is no floor mat. What are you talking about?
Well, see, they're going to curb teen pregnancies by having Kathleen Wynne.
It's only on paper.
They're going to curb teen pregnancies by having Kathleen Wynne tell all the young boys that they're girls.
Well, you know, like I've came out there and I had on potty talk, you know, Catherine Wynne with Justin Trudeau's daughter, sex ed. Then I came out, you know, with another video right after. I don't think there's any good way of showing a child, rather it's by a book, by dolls, how to wash itself. You know, like I learned from my parents. Some people might find this good. Well, you know, like all of a sudden, when 12-year-olds are having kids, who do you think it goes to? If the parents don't take it, it goes right into the children's aid care. And all of a sudden, they're able to adopt that out. And if you ask the hospital, they'll go, oh, they're all down, child. But if you go to the children's aid, you'll see how fast you're able to get a child.
Hmm. Well, teen pregnancies in the future, if things should go way down because all the boys will be running around as girls. If they start teaching them at the age of 5 or 6 years old that maybe they're a girl, not a boy, and they should act that way, there's not going to be many teen pregnancies.
Yeah, it's all
going to go way
down.
So, I mean, I guess that's the depopulation nonsense that they're pushing.
What do you think What do you think? This is all being pushed on us, and that's what's happening right now, because they know that if you're gay, you're not going to have any children, so it's better. It's better for
With this, it's more of a gender confusion. It's not even doesn't even matter if they're gay or not. If they can just confuse their gender from the time they're five, maybe they are heterosexual, but they're dressed like they're not going to get any girlfriend dressed like a girl, and you know it's just ridiculous. I don't see it. It's the whole thing is warped, and the average Canadian citizen doesn't know that this is even going on.
Well, you see Catherine Wynne coming out there going, all the parents are saying that I'm glad that I'm a lesbian and stuff like that. She's at an elementary school. But during this time, and it's on my piece of paper, and I want to show you guys this, that I am going to try and set up a bullying program here for the kids. There's a lot of guys in jail right now who have been in and out, even here in Hamilton, Ontario. And, you know, like, it's time that our kids got to understand. You know, like, there's kids out there going to jail for a 20 bag, doing 8 years. There's kids out there for this cause and this cause. But if we had something like this, it might not have happened. We have children swearing at their parents all the time. No respect for their parents all the time. All these things are caused because they're all worried about certain things, and that's being a parent. Now, myself, I've never hit my son. I've never had to. I've always been able to talk to him. That's a good thing about me, because we always talk, me and my kid, no matter what it's about. He can say anything to me. And, of course, if I don't like it, he knows I'm reacting. He likes that part, too. He likes seeing his dad go over there and tell the principals off and vice principals and, you know, tell other people off. He enjoys that part about me. And he doesn't understand the reason why I do all this. It's because I understand what I'm really doing. And to you people out there who don't know really what you're doing, you will get charged. You will, like, you know, like, if you're going to come out here and criticize the government, like, Stephen Harper was coming here, and I put it on my Facebook, get your eggs ready and get cracking, and a buddy goes, are you saying that they should go and do that? And I'm going, well, I was hoping people had more common sense than go there and start really throwing eggs and tomatoes at Stephen Harper. Like, you know, like, just, you just vote him out, or you do whatever you think is necessary for yourself, but to absolutely go over there and throw things at a police officer, or throw things at anybody that has any type to do with city elected officials or anything like that, be more sensible in your head. Just because a person says, oh, get cracking, you know, it doesn't mean that the person really wants you to go out there and do it. And you know it's against the law. So why would you do it in the first place?
Yeah, now I'm not saying I am above throwing eggs at some politician or some, you know, say somebody like even Bill Gates or somebody. You know, there's a famous video out there of Bill Gates. So he was at this thing, this event, and somebody came up and they put a cream pie in his face. I think it was just like a pie plate full of whipped cream is all it was, right? Where they pied him. And but yeah, you're gonna face some type of charge or assault charge or something like that.
Absolutely, but it's gonna be with a weapon.
Well, I mean,
it's a weapon because no matter what's in your hand, rather it's a peanut. They could probably charge you for throwing confetti, like wedding confetti. But I'm just saying.
My point is it's your own risk. I don't advocate anyone do it, but I'm not saying I wouldn't do it personally. If given the opportunity, and I had a thing of eggs, and I was coming back from the grocery store, and that's all I had was a thing of eggs in the bag. You know, fresh farm, fresh eggs, organically. Hatched
chickens still in
throw there. A GMO at him. Throw a GMO, not
chickens him. Already still in there.
And then, and then Bill Gates limo just starts going by real slow, and I can see it. Hey, it's Bill Gates in that limo. I mean, I can't promise that I wouldn't unload all those eggs on his car. I can't say that I wouldn't. I mean, but I don't advocate anyone does stuff like that. Well, and if you do stuff like that, yeah, there's going to be some repercussions. Should you not be able to run away fast enough? And you know, because I'm a fast runner, I don't think they'd ever catch me. That's my point.
make sure they're hard boiled.
Well, yeah.
Look, I was 100 meter dash and starter in the relay all throughout school, and so you know, good luck. You better catch me. You know, you're not going to catch me, especially if you're some donut eater. you're some donut eater, or you're all steroided out and you're like built like a tank, well, you never catch me.
Well, there's no law against propaganda. Lies and propaganda they can throw at us.
That's, I'm like that's Ben Johnson on speed.
Pan Am Games are back again.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The truth shall set you free.
Road runner.
But altogether, you know, like when it comes to different organizations out here, you'll hear me criticizing a lot of different things. You know, like all of our jobs are going lower, lower, leaving, leaving, lower, leaving. It's not getting better here. And all of a sudden, you know, like I said, they want to take Stelco and turn it into a high rise. And I'm not understanding how they want all these people coming here and there's no jobs for them here. Hamilton, Ontario probably has the least jobs around them than anybody else.
It's pretty bad all around Ontario, last I saw. It's pretty hurting. Toronto has the most jobs because that's where the most people are. That's just the way it goes. But yeah, you go into other places that were previously boom towns, like say Barrie. You know, a decade ago, there was a lot of work out there. There's nothing out there. And percentage-wise, it's comparable to Hamilton.
Well, let's face it, anybody else going out here and putting up surveys and everything like that, they're already being put up there. And, you know, but like I said, Hamilton Housing has a lot of houses here. I know that they don't really care right now because there'd be people in those homes right now. And here's another thing about Hamilton Housing, what they're doing. All of a sudden you have a bill against them, and I know people that have paid them back their bills, and they still don't give them Hamilton Housing anyways. There's my friend who's got 3 kids. He's not even the father. He's the grandfather of them, and he's looking after them. He paid off his bill 6 years ago, and they still won't give him
Hamilton Housing. I'm getting a call from the fire department commander.
We're coming up.
Hey, we will be back after this message with Angry Beaver Radio. We've had
such terrible frequencyradio.com.
Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan, probably.
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. But we was inside waiting to go upstairs.
And now it's time for comments from our listeners.
Joy writes, "Really? The volume of your blaring ads are dangerously too loud. Very annoying. We just hang up. But if your ad volume was safe, same as program, we would more likely stay on and listen through N2 ads. Please do not be worse than the mainstream media."
Dear Joy, we're a 100% ad-free and listener-supported station. Wherever you're listening, they're most likely picking up our content and injecting ads over it. For an ad-free experience, you can always dial in to the TFR Listen by Phone option at 832-225-5308, where you can listen live ad-free or check out your favorite programs on demand. And remember, wherever you are, make it TFR.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Residents of Mississippi and Louisiana gathering to mark the 10th anniversary of the day that Hurricane Katrina slammed into the Gulf Coast. In New Orleans, that meant a celebration, a wreath-laying ceremony, and some somber remarks from Mayor Mitch Landrieu, who says that the Katrina Memorial, where the unidentified and unclaimed bodies from Katrina are buried, amounts to sacred ground.
We come here today to recommit ourselves to the notion that no American is going to be left behind. There are certain circumstances where people are forgotten and they can be unnamed, but they can't be unclaimed. And this space is testament to that fact.
Meanwhile, Governor Bobby Jindal paid tribute to the people that came from every other state in the country to help rebuild in the aftermath of the deadly storm. Florida bracing for at least heavy rains from a weakening tropical storm, Erica. Officials say that storm killed at least 20 people and left 30 missing on the small eastern Caribbean island of Dominica. Haiti and the Dominican Republic have been getting drenched today by the storm. Tampa Mayor Bob Buckhorn says the city is ready for whatever comes from Erica.
We've been preparing for the last couple days for this. Obviously, over the last 4 weeks, we've had a lot of experience. The ground is still saturated to a much lesser degree than it was 2 weeks ago, but it is still an issue.
Also at SRNnews.com, authorities are searching a home in connection with the fatal shooting of a Texas sheriff's deputy. Harris County Sheriff Ron Hickman says the deputy who was killed was specifically targeted.
Deputy Darren H. Goforth, 47-year-old, 10-year veteran of the Harris County Sheriff's Department, was literally gunned down at a service station just down the road.
And the home being searched in connection with that murder last night is said to be about a quarter of a mile away from the gas station where it happened. This is SRN News.
No hate, no hype, no fear. We are TFFR Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. And we're here with our guest, Phil Ryerson. And I've got this interesting story here that I thought was funny. This was published last week by the CBC News crew, Canadian Broadcasting Company. And they get just over $1 billion a year from the Canadian taxpayer to bring them hard-hitting reports, such as this one about the Aqua Mermaid School has just opened in Toronto. Here, instructors teach students of all ages how to swim in mermaid tails. The school started in Montreal and will soon expand to Ottawa. So good news for Justin Trudeau, if he wants to get in on the mermaid swimming lessons. Now, what this is, it's like a mermaid unitard. It's like a unifin, right? So it's like a one-piece bottom. I don't know what it's made out of, spandex or lycra or who knows what. And it's like a one-piece fin, and they put it on. And it only costs us $1 billion a year to bring us hard-hitting reports about mermaid schools and Justin Bieber reports. You know, I mean, that's great. We need the CBC. It's ridiculous. I play the clip, but it's boring. There's nothing much to it. And it's not nothing against the mermaid school. These people, I have nothing against the school unless they're getting taxpayer money, of course. But my beef is with the CBC. Why are you using my money to promote mermaid stuff? Like, what's next? Like, unicorn forecasting?
Well, I'm going to tell CBC right now I want to start my own dog paddling school, and they get to wear their little paws in the water and they can go around.
Yeah, you're going to teach dogs how to do dog paddle swimming lesson school, and come do a story on me.
You can wear a St. Bernard costume if you like. You can wear a Chihuahua costume.
Now, I'm going to give you guys a little – all dogs know how to swim instinctively unless all their legs were somehow blown off or in a mine or accident or something. I don't know. Otherwise, you throw a dog or a cat or pretty much any animal in, if they can swim, they will swim. And they didn't have to take any lessons. I guess humans are the only ones that have to do that. But now we get to swim as a mythical animal, a mythical creature. So I want to open up a unicorn swimming lessons, how to swim, how to dress up, how to swim in a unicorn costume, right? And I want the CBC to come down to my house with their crew. It's only going to cost them, I don't know, $10,000 to do the story in wages and stuff. But who cares? And this is why the CBC needs to be defunded. That's my point. I mean, we got all this, you know, economic hardship. There's all these poor people. There's homeless people. And we're spending $1 billion to a garbage news organization, news, and, you know, you use the term loosely, to bring us unicorn reports and, you know, it's just absurd. Mermaid stories and Justin Bieber again and again with the Justin Bieber. And every time I see it, it's like being spat at in the face. It's like, hey, they stole my money to tell me this. And the average Canadian doesn't see that. They don't realize how much they're getting and that it basically funds the entire operation. And yeah, there is some great programming that they put out. But, you know, we don't have the money for it. We don't. I mean, with all the other stuff, the money needs to be spent somewhere else. It's $1 billion a year.
They don't even have a Blonde Mermaid even doing the show.
Yeah, for $1 billion a year, I'll give you a news organization hosted by mermaids.
Did you watch the news report, though? There was a one-clip interview with a man that was in the outfit, so you got to...
Yeah, we're going to start up. We're going to start up the NBC, okay? Give me the $1 billion a year, and I'll come up with MBC. That's Mermaid Broadcasting Company. We'll hire a bunch of Playboy models from the Playboy from up there in the mansion, and we'll get them in the mermaid outfit, and we'll there you go.
Well,
it's only going to work if it's gender neutral.
I myself, I'm going to be like Donald Trump and have everybody Chinese to do it because of it's China. Like, these guys have to understand China. It's become a big deal now.
China. Well, wait a second. I didn't catch that. I heard Daniel say something about gender neutral. You're talking about a gender neutral mermaid show?
Yeah, because the maid, you can't have to have a merman, a mermaid. Got to have a new term.
So it's a family thing now.
There's no such thing as mermen. Stop the oppression of merwomen and mermen. We're mer people, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And you're right about Donald Trump saying China a lot, but he does also say Mexico, Mexico, Saudi Arabia.
Donald Trump come up with this wonderful idea when we have Ronald Reagan fighting to take down the Berlin Wall, and now we have Donald Trump fighting to put up a wall. I'm not understanding it. Did he do all that just for that? If he's a Republican.
I don't think – I'm not going to give him any support unless he says he'll put up a wall on the north border as well.
I don't think Stephen Harper would like that.
But think of how many jobs you create. You got to build a wall across Canada and Mexico.
Well, that's all that's going to get the jobs are people from Mexico. They're going to bring them over for that. They're going to get a green card like every other.
Yeah, they're going to need to hire a bunch of Mexicans to build.
We're Canadians, right? So everybody else has got to have those jobs. It's the future. Everybody else. We'll keep Canadians on welfare, not speak out, not say anything. You know, we'll just make them hate us all. Nobody will do anything about it.
Yeah, I could already see it already because, like, the companies that get the contract to build the wall across the United States on the Mexican border, they'll all be subcontracting out to all these companies who will be bringing in illegal immigrants to build the wall.
Well, you know, like, how do you people know that it's not to keep America out of Mexico? Like, this could be the other thing.
Yeah.
This is it, you know?
Exactly. Well, it could serve, that function in both ways. So it is an issue. Yeah, I don't think a wall is an answer to really anything. It's creating another problem, I think.
No, it would have to be a big electric fence like in Jurassic Park, you know, the big
thing.
But then eventually...
But the T-Rex chewed through that, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly. So there's always a way around it. But
yeah.
If it was just a wall, you could just put a ladder up, you'd think, or...
Wow.
Fly over in a glider, maybe.
Now, speaking of the immigration thing, there's a whole other immigration problem coming from the Middle East of all the people running from the places that we've bombed the living crap out of.
Yeah.
Now, I've been one to say that, you know, we shouldn't be over there stirring up problems or stirring up trouble or, you know, just stay out of that whole mess. But now that our country or our criminal government has committed our forces over there to blow the crap out everywhere.
And
now these people are running for their lives. They're not the militants. They're just refugees. They're trying to go anywhere in the world they can that's not where they are now. It almost seems like the countries that have been blowing the living crap out of them have some form of obligation to help them. And they're not helping them. What they're doing is putting them onto boats, you know, with like a 300 people and 100 person boat and watch it sink to the bottom. You know, it's ridiculous. People are washing up on shore onto the beaches, and then you got the 70 people who suffocated in the back of a moving truck.
Well, I think Canada should change the national anthem to "Oh Canada, we stand on everyone but we." You know, because when it comes to us, like, there is no us,
and it's an it's a dicey situation because the area that they are bombing is an area where there are ISIS and ISIL and terrorists. And during this migration, they could easily sneak into any country disguised along with them. I'm not saying that's going to occur, but that's really why a lot of the countries don't want to take them in. But here's the issue. Well, then you shouldn't have bombed the living crap out of them. Because these are just women and children and, you know, dads, families. Their town's been blown to hell. They got to leave. And, you know, now they're dying out at sea. People just, hey, everyone, pile into the boat like sardines and a couple of waves come over. Now we're sinking. We're too far out from shore to swim back before drowning or dying of hypothermia or whatever the case is. I don't know what the sea temperatures are in the area, but it's a big travesty. And it's you know, that's wow. What's came up in the last few days. It's big. Like, there's just huge flood of migrants, and a lot of them are dying, and then they have nowhere to go. Even when they do get somewhere, it's like, what do they do? So why the hell are we bombing the crap out of their country is a question you got to ask yourself. And then why are we funding all these terror organizations?
Well, don't forget about Ukrainian. Like, you know, like, why are we over there too? Like, you know, like, the only person I see really being against this, believe it or not, like, you know, I'm going to bring up Elizabeth May, and she's been against Bill C-51. Like, she's been against the wars. Like, you know, she says that there's other places we can put their money. Well, here in Hamilton, Ontario, I want to show you the people. When I come out there and I explain to you where 40% of Ancaster goes over to them, for them to have food banks there and everything. Well, here in our city, I believe we get 20%. How does Ancaster here, which is probably one of the richest places around inside of Hamilton, Ontario, get 40% for food banks, for them to put up, you know, all these other different things there for there when no one can get there? And it's just ridiculous seeing where all this wasted stuff going. But there's things being taken advantage here. And it's done by a lot of different things here. And I'm going to be explaining this coming up on September 27th. This is not a rally. I'm coming there. I expect children and a lot of moms there. These are the people I'm fighting for. I expect some senior citizens there. So, you know, I'm coming out here to fight for different matters. It's not a rally, you know, like, just to let anyone know, I don't expect it to be a rally. I expect at the end of it to play a couple of tunes for my friends, and that's as far as that gets. But for most of it, I expect to be pretty sensible, pretty real. And it's the only way to be out here for the people, because they're looking for something different. But as I said, our infrastructure here is a mess. Everything has been a mess here. You know, like, people are promising things that are still not here, and they're still been waiting here for years for it all. And it's just getting worse and worse.
Well, what are you seeing in terms of Metrolinx?
Well, we've seen the GO buses, right?
Ah.
So GO, Government of Ontario Bus Service, been around for a long time. They got GO buses, GO trains. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing the GO buses, the same GO buses that were GO buses, were white and green. Now they've, you know, done a paint job or a vinyl wrap to make it of Metrolinx colors. So, I mean, you know, spend thousands of dollars vinyl wrapping buses. Now we're Metrolinx. I mean, it's like, why? Now, multiply how many of those buses do you have to change the colors on? Could have just paid for a brand new bus. Would it an extra bus?
Well, it's just getting ridiculous. Like, when Catherine Wynne comes out and says Hamilton's getting $13.1 million for a new light railroad transit here. I want to assure you on September 27th, I'll be showing you how ridiculous this is and where we could put different money to it, to where other things are already here that could make it easier. And it's just getting worse. People are saying that they want to put it through the mountain now. Don't ask me where they're getting that idea from. Like, maybe our roller coaster idea in a couple of shows ago.
The roller coaster?
Well, remember when we wanted to, because the side of the mountain all goes all the way across Lake Niagara on the lake. So as it comes across that way. But to put, like, the light railroad transit there, like, to go through that area would be just a little overboard. It wouldn't be safe enough, I don't think. We already have it falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah, so you'd have to tunnel it or something, or it'd be on the side of the mountain.
Well, yeah, like, you know, like, and with the mountain already falling, like, you know, all across it, like, no matter where it is, like, we have Henderson Hospital right there, like, you know, like, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. I would prefer to build a city up on the bedrock, on the Canadian Shield, and because that stuff is doesn't move. Where it is here on the escarpment, it's like this limestone and shale or something. It's weird. I mean, it's dicey type of material to be building on or in even. So it's always changing and moving to some degree. Not like the Canadian Shield. I mean, they could build roller coasters. They probably stand for a few hundred years or so.
Well, I want you guys to know it's going further back and not further out, right? Like, the mountain's sort of, like, you know, crumbling, and it's not coming out further. So if it's crumbling there, like, you know, there's a few different changes there that later on in the future that are going to have to be made, and they're just taking their time on it. The whole problem with Hamilton, Ontario is that they don't have any really plans for a future. That's the whole problem.
Well, they can't even do anything for the here and now. How can they do anything for the future?
Well, this is the whole problem with their whole thing. Like, they don't think of anything, you know. Like, they just think of going, okay, I have to go there. Oh, I'll see you when I get home. Like, the whole problem is that, you know, it's called amalgamation. You know, like, it's called two-term. They have so many different names for all these new things coming out here, and they keep changing our bylaw codes. Our freedom of expression is being taken over by bylaw codes. To all you people out there, this is one of the worst things about this out here. Is that they're taking advantage of it, and our city elected officials are voting on all these things to where the people don't even have a chance to vote on it.
I was going to ask Daniel about something about that. Like, what was that one? Isn't there some bylaw in Toronto there was about having a bullhorn?
Yeah, but then it was on private property, I think. It actually says in the bylaw. So they are able to get around because, like, basically you're in public if you're at, like, Yonge and Dundas, you can use it.
Right. Okay.
But if you were in your car and you had it or something, then it's like considered going from private property. Or if you're like in your house and it's coming from your window, then it's like in private property into the public space. But then, you know, so there is like there was some kind of leeway because basically David Lynn, one of these street preachers at Yonge and Dundas, because there's a few of them. But David Lynn's one of the most vocal. He's like out there all the time. With an amplifier, with like a thing and a microphone, a few summers ago they tried to shut him down. And then he was like in court for like a year or something or more. And eventually they just threw out the charges. They just basically the Crown dropped all the charges because there was no there's basically no prospect of conviction if there's no like rules against using it, you know.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that, Daniel. We were down there at the time, and there's other noises there too. You know, like there's music, rock music going on in Dundas Square on the other side, right?
Yeah,
which is loud enough, or probably louder. And he's using his bullhorn to do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So if you take that away from him, where he has to, they came. Remember, they came and told him to turn it down.
Yeah.
Turn it down, down, down. But you couldn't hear him because of the music across the street.
Yeah, exactly.
So how fair is that? That's not fair at all.
Well, here's me renting the park. Like, here's what I noticed there. When I went there to rent it, and I checked out the bylaw code, it says right there, $241 for me to rent the noise or $160 fine by the police. Like, this is a hard decision for me. And I'm sitting there going, okay, like, you know, like, I'm going, all right then, so, like, you know, thanks for the ticket.
Yeah. Exactly. See the math.
And it's so different way, to bylaw codes, but do people really want to check it out in Hamilton, Ontario? Last year I know that there was 1 in 25, 2 in 23, I believe. 3 and 24. These are all bylaw codes that they were changing during the time of the person coming over here on Lincoln Alexander with the abortion flag. And so many codes were changed there on top of the codes that they wanted to change that people don't even understand yet.
Right. Yeah, they just jammed in all this other stuff. They say, oh, we're going to do this and get everyone to support it. But meanwhile, they're jamming all this other stuff in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is where our...
Without letting anyone know.
So, you know, the freedom of expression will be there, but every fine in the world for you trying to get it will also be there, too. And that's where the whole problem comes in. Like, people aren't really looking at what we're really losing here and paying attention. Because it's our future that's going to suffer for it the most. It's our grandchildren. It's our children. It's their children. And so on and so on.
Well, if you're present, what is happening today in Hamilton, Ontario, is anything like what the future is going to be? It looks very bleak, I can tell you that.
Well, our main problem here is that, you know, like, we're getting, since we become a Silver City, like, we're getting a lot of people from Toronto and other places all the way around that are people that can't even get around places and do anything. Just along King Street from Sherman to Gage, there's probably people like, and there's like 80 people just in that area that can't even look after themselves, don't get proper medication, don't get anything. And this is what they're doing with everybody. And, you know, like, and they're walking down the street, they're asking people for money, they're asking people for stuff, people are hitting them. And, you know, and this is the whole problem out here.
But, I mean, Hamilton's also a sanctuary city. I think Toronto is, and Vancouver's also a sanctuary city.
Yeah, but we just became it last year.
So, but what that means is, like, ISIS can come to Canada, you know, illegally, border jump, come show up on a boat with all his ISIS pals, and then go get some services down there, and they don't need any ID or nothing, you know, and flourish in Canada. Meanwhile, we can't take care of the sick or the elderly. I mean, it's sanctuary city has nothing to do with helping Canadians. It's about helping illegal immigrants, not even legal immigrants. It's like illegal immigrants, people who the border.
Yeah, they don't even care if they're wanted or anything.
Well, it makes sense for immigrants to have, you know, legal immigrants. It makes sense for them to have organization that help new immigrants to assimilate and how to get a job and how to do stuff in this. You know, in this country, that makes sense. I'm not against that. I'm just, sanctuary city is like this thing where, you know, anyone can come here illegally, where they don't even declare that they're in Canada. They just show up, they sneak into the border, into the country, and now they can go and get services. So,
well, they get grants and everything. This is where the other problem comes in.
This is the UN project, and somebody was already killed by somebody who was getting aid from a sanctuary city. There was a murderer who snuck across the border, went to a sanctuary city, and then they killed somebody. Killed some lady, I believe it was.
I might have to talk with a police officer right in front of me. Stand up for me.
Good luck.
We're gonna have to run behind him and everything.
There was one police officer got in trouble this week that was from the G20 over five years ago. one of the first times that happened. I guess the first time an executive of the police or commander of the police.
Well, I just want you all to know that he received pay during the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to forget about sharing that part. Like, you know, he received pay for the whole time off that 4 years or 8 years, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one officer, I think he got like some like $800,000 here in Hamilton, Ontario. And his court case was coming up and he just rather resigned.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what they're saying with this G20 guy, because the sentencing is until December, so he's still got a few months he can retire or resign or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well,
who gave him the order to do that?
Well, either like
the gray people,
the devil himself, or or the chief. The chief was above him at that point.
Oh, Bill Blair, yeah.
Yeah, he was now running as a lawyer. But these guys could also go rogue. He could have gone rogue. But I guess Blair sort of stuck up for him, so you wouldn't think he went totally rogue.
Are there any more court cases?
Isn't he running for something out here, though, Bill Blair? Like, isn't he Isn't
yeah, that's why he's got to distance himself from any controversy. So he said he won't be answering any questions about the G20 during the campaign.
Bill Blair looks like Ric Flair on bath salts.
Yeah, in yeah. Suplex City.
Well, you know, like, speaking about all that, you know, like, Roddy Piper passing away was a pretty different thing to happen. I liked Roddy Piper. I thought he was one of the most comical people in wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, even Ronda Rousey came out after she won her fight and, you know, said, sorry to hear about Roddy Piper, you know. Mm-hmm. But altogether, you know, like, he entertained me in a lot of things. The most comical one, I think, was when he interviewed himself.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like, and there's not too many people that were like him in the entertainment field. If it wasn't for Roddy Piper, there would have been really no Hulk Hogan or Mr. T in WrestleMania 1. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he was truly, like, Vince McMahon came right out and said he was the original trash talker ever.
Yeah, exactly. And he was Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
Seemed like he's sure Scottish, but he's Canadian.
Yeah. Toombs was his last name, Toombs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I was reading an article about it all, and, but yeah, I was laughing at most of them during his whole career. I thought Piper's Pit was just hilarious.
Yeah, where he hit Snuka with a coconut.
Oh, yeah, yeah. After he passed away, I put it on my TV and I showed it there. About 25 to 40 people looked at it. You know, like, everybody thinks I'm prejudiced on there because of potty talk. Like, you know, like, I'm trying to get people to understand, like, potty talk is about comedy. And it, behind every joke's a little bit of truth, but, you know, like, it's still about comedy, either way you look at it.
Yeah, I guess Roddy Piper had been living in L.A. because his co-host on his podcast is an L.A. comedian guy that does at the Comedy Store. And I guess they had met at the Comedy Store because I think some of these wrestling guys go on comedy tours after.
Well, I think that's part of all that program they have on wrestling there. I forget what it's called. I forget what it's called on the Wrestling Channel.
Anyways, guys, we're going to have another break coming up.
We have before us the opportunity to forge
we'll be right back
for ourselves and for future generations. A Angry new world radio. Order. A world where the rule of law,
frequencyradio.com.
The law of the jungle, governs the conduct of men.
Hey everyone, this is Phoenix of Phoenix Rising Radio, inviting you to listen in every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific Time right here on Truth Frequency Radio Network. Join us as we cover a wide range of topics and current events, ranging from the esoteric, economic, earth changes, and geopolitical. We also have interesting and exciting guests. Now is the time to lift your mind higher. Now is the time. Rise above. How can you do this? It's easy. Just tune in to Phoenix Rising Radio right here on TFR.
A new poll finds most evangelicals in Britain think their religious freedom is being taken from them. SRN's Michael Harrington has more.
The Evangelical Alliance survey finds 80% of Christians are concerned, especially with application of new laws aimed at limiting extremism. Those statutes are clearly aimed at Muslim groups, but many Christian leaders fear they will eventually have the effect of limiting religious freedom across the board. They are particularly concerned about how aggressive atheist groups will use the laws to drive British Christians out of the public square. Michael Harrington, SRN News.
Russian police have recovered the fragments of a 100-year-old sculpture that was stolen from a historic building in the shadow of a new Orthodox church. The disappearance of the artwork in St. Petersburg raised fears of a growing religious intolerance in Russia. It's believed that a right-wing group that supports the church carried out the theft because the sculpture looks like Satan. This is SRN News. A federal appeals court says the Supreme Court can keep protesters off its marble plaza without violating their constitutional right to free speech. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has that story.
Since 1983, the Supreme Court has interpreted the law to allow protests and other displays only on the public sidewalk surrounding the building, not on the plaza itself, which is closest to the nation's highest court. A challenge sent the matter to a lower court, which declared the restriction to be unconstitutional. But now the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit has reversed that lower court, saying First Amendment rights stop at the sidewalk in front of the majestic courthouse and do not extend to the plaza itself. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
A California doctor known as the Candyman has been convicted of illegally prescribing painkillers that authorities say led to the overdose deaths of 20 patients. Dr. Julio Diaz testified he was tricked by the patients who lied to get the drugs. More details at srnnews.com.
Your DIY health with Jim Ram. Thursdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
All right.
The blue on the sea, loose and complete under sky, so smoky blue-green. I can't foresee a Dixie did she, so we dance the sidewalk clean. My memory is muddy, what's this river that I'm in? New Orleans is sinking, man, and I don't want to swim.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. And we're in the final segment here, and any last topics you guys would like to get into?
Well, I'd like to say something. On my Facebook there, that showed at a rally that some guys had a fishing rod, and they had donuts on the other end of it, and they were teasing the police with it. You know, some people on my Facebook were offended by it. Some people found it hilarious, and it came out to be a little bit of controversy by it. And people are going, what do you think? I'm going, well, they're missing coffee. That's why people, I think, are upset.
No, that's a pretty famous photo. It's a photo of a bunch of students in Montreal at a protest where they had donuts tied to a string hanging off a stick like as if it was a fishing rod, and they're fishing for police officers with donuts. And it is, I've seen it. It's been around for, I think, probably a couple of years now. And it is a pretty famous picture. There might actually be a video of them doing it. I think there's a video out there of them doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's on my Facebook. And a couple of people were at that rally there, and a couple of them were saying that, you know, like they knew some of those cops that were at this one rally there, and that all the cops ain't bad. It's not about them being bad or what it's about being good. But, you know, either way, you know, when you hang together and you know it's being done bad together, you're still together.
It's funny you phrase it that way, too, because that's one of the things the anarchist tag is ACAB.
Yeah.
C-A-B. Yeah. So all cops ain't bad.
So I just sit there and shake my head at it. But I look forward to coming out here to speak for my first time, and it should be different. You know, I know a few people are hoping that it's going to be really different, but I'm really coming out here to try and fight for the people. That's my main goal out here, is to really try and make a difference with our city hall and let the poor people know we hold all the majority. Everywhere across Ontario, Canada, there's always more poor than rich. No matter what they say, we can vote anyone out or in. We want. And right now, with all the corruption out here that I'll be showing you, I don't know how you can want to vote for anyone. Now, how come there's, here in Hamilton, Ontario, when I ran for mayor, there was 25% of 25,000, and the mayor got in there altogether. There wasn't even, I think, 88,000 people that voted. In some of the wards, there was only 11% of the people who voted. How are these people still in there with only that majority of only people voting? There's got to be a situation where they come out there where it has to be this many people to vote for it to absolutely go through. because it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, 8% of the people vote in, so all of a sudden, you know, just your family votes you in. You're mayor of Hamilton, you're alderman of Hamilton. You know what I mean? So, like, and there's got to be a percentage out here that people aren't realizing, and if not, then we should be able to make one. Because most of the people in Hamilton don't vote anyways.
Yeah, but see, Justin Trudeau, if he gets elected the crime minister of Kanatistan, he pledges to make it mandatory voting for all. And I don't know. I don't think that's like what's they have. I think didn't they institute that in Australia?
Well, how come it's all computer voted, though? This is the whole problem out there. It's the computer voting.
Yeah, they want your IP address. So then they probably schemed so you get a fine. They probably don't care if you vote or not. It's just so they can give you a fine after if you don't.
But this, my issue is if I, you know, I'm aware that the candidates on the ballot are criminals, then I shouldn't be forced to vote for any of them under threat of fine or incarceration for doing so. Well, so Justin Trudeau can stick his mandatory voting up his corrupt yin yang.
Mm-hmm. All you have to do when you go to the ballot box, vote for everybody.
Oh, spoiled ballot.
Spoiled ballot. Vote for everybody.
Vote for everybody. Vote for or put nobody. Write nobody and then a box and a check, like Nathan Frazier from the commercial here on the network.
Yeah, draw your own box.
Vote for nobody. Yeah, that's a great one. And I saw that whole commercial actually painted onto the back of some building years ago. We were flyering something.
What do you guys see, though, in terms of signs? Because I've been around...
I'll give you an example. I was going to mention that, you know, like the other day I went by and I seen a different David Christofferson sign and the person wrote Hitler with glasses. And that person's name was probably Phil Ryerson. And I asked for the sign from the person and they walked over and they handed it to me right to myself.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going, I want to thank you very much.
I think people should do that. I think that could be a trend for this election, maybe not only here but in the United States, is get the free election sign. If you can get a free election sign from these globalist shill candidates with their mug on it, get the sign and then deface it, you know, dress them up like Hitler or whoever, you know, dress them up however you want, deface them and then put them up so everyone shows, you know, you're not really supporting them. You're just you could have all three signs or four signs or whatever many signs you want of the different candidates all defaced and looking like Gestapo.
But what parties are you guys seeing? Because around Western Toronto, I hear it's
NDP.
NDP and Liberal, yeah.
Mostly NDP here in Hamilton, Ontario. It's always been NDP. And this is where all their votes mostly come from anyways, is Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah.
And we've lost a lot of good businesses here. Stelco's on its way out. They want to put high-rises there for some reason and invite more people over here. And instead, instead of my business going there where they can make money from it, you know, for a higher Hamilton. And it was Tuesday coming up. There's some guy downtown going, oh, I'm going to open up this place so where people can buy marijuana off me if they have a card. Well, that's any smoke shop that we have here. We have like 8 already. So like, this guy's really intelligent, you know, and I just sit there and laugh at all these people. But altogether, Hamilton, Ontario is a mess. They want to create a bigger mess here. And it's not going to get any better here. But if the poor people come out... But like I said, I'm going to represent a lot of people out here for free. Which is no alderman can do it. No mayor can do it. But since I ain't any of them, I'm going to come out and do it. And this is, like I said, I've been blackballed everywhere. So why not, you know, come out and do this anyways?
Yeah, that's another coincidence. Roddy Piper said he was blackballed in the wrestling business 3 times.
Oh, probably.
He came back each time.
Well, you can imagine a guy like that, you know? Like, he was the only person that was never a champion, a world champion.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and he had all that fame and all that creation, but never a world champion.
It's because he was Canadian. They're anti-Canadiites.
No, they're not.
That's why they killed... That's what they...
The Illuminati killed Owen Hart.
Yeah.
And Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
And the Macho Man.
Well, just to let you know, my video face-to-face coming out, I think that it'll be a hit seller if it makes it on Google and YouTube. I want you guys to know. And now we're planning the crime of the century. It's going to be a little different for people. And these will be two songs at the end I play for people because, like I said, my buddies are coming there and they want to watch some sort of potty talk. And here it'll come to those people. But I'll let the people know that it's over and this is for my friends from Potty Talk.
R-rated.
Well, it won't be me doing it. Like, it won't be me doing anything like Potty Talk. Like, you know, it'll just be these songs of what I think that is happening inside of our government today and people around our government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think face-to-face, like, I'll give you an example. When it goes face-to-face, we're going to have Monica Lewinsky and, you know, of course, the wife of the whole matter. You know what I mean? So when it comes to the wife of the matter, Mr. Clinton's not going to be happy, and neither is Hillary.
Yeah.
I thought Bill Clinton was the wife in this situation.
Well.
There's Anthony Weiner's wife.
Hillary Clinton wears the pants in that relationship.
Well, after that, she did.
She wears the pantsuit in that relationship.
So how many people here want to see Donald Trump be president? Like, that's the whole question. Like, that was pretty different for me. Now, he's ahead in the votes, I hear, too.
I'd only like it for, like, as, like, a feature film, maybe, like, as a movie. But if you got to deal with it for years, it's going to be hard to deal with because he's already promised to be the most pro-military president in history. He's going to be.
I don't mind because it's, like, entertainment, but it's not a good – I don't think any of it's a good thing no matter who gets elected.
But I think a no vote is a Phil Ryerson vote here, and I should be prime minister because I would have more votes than anybody else, and I think that's what people are looking at. But I should be prime minister if that's the case. If a no vote is a Phil Ryerson vote, and if people went there and put it down there, then I would be able to be prime minister. This would be, make a big difference. At least I would have planets and idea and not rip anybody off. Probably get shot for it, though, so, you know.
Well, I'm surprised I haven't seen a conservative sign, but I guess they blew their budget on the all the TV ads and Facebook ads.
Well, they're only blowing our money anyways. Like, you know, when I went and seen Elizabeth May right down on James Street at the Crawl, she came right out and said the top three parties spend $10 million a year on their campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all taxpayers' money.
Yeah, because they get reimbursed in the...
Well, I remember talking to this person, and she goes to me, she goes, oh, no, the federal government paid for the Tim Hortons Stadium. I'm going, and where do you think they get their money from?
It's magical thinking. And many of these people you can't get through to. You can't. They think the government has magical money that they got from the money tree. So I don't know.
But I know our city elected officials have never heard from me before come out in public. I'm sure they're going to be all excited for it. You know, I'm sure when I sit there and just sit there and go this way, this way, this way, this way, and show them all doing it themselves.
But here's the thing. A stadium built on the up and up by a city, like say the city of Hamilton, says, well, yeah, we're going to build a stadium for the with the taxpayer money for the Tiger Cats, and it's going to be for profit. And it's going to be the city owns it, and the money goes towards funding, you know, city services. Well, then that would be, you know, honestly run and could be an actual good investment and a way to lower local taxes, like property taxes.
Well, I have
to offset them, right? But instead, they just use it as a scam. They build the arenas with our money, and then they sell it for pennies on the dollar to private companies, who then they get the profit off of it. So it's ridiculous.
You can imagine what Catherine Wynne owns then.
Well, didn't she subsidize all these wineries? So I mean, like, if you gave a little bit more money to the wino on the street, the wineries wouldn't need all this corporate welfare. That's why wine sales are down.
Well, yeah. they're up now at the grocery store, so.
Oh, yeah, right. Now they're selling wine at the grocery store.
Here, and beer. Now they said that they're going to bring beer into grocery stores and stuff like that. Yeah, I just don't want to know by the Ontario, like I came out with last year, sitting there saying they should just sell it in variety stores. You know, like people can always pick it up outside to where you just put it in and it comes out like a vending machine. Like, this is all stupid.
Well, select few chain grocery stores have been given the green light by the Ontario government to sell this alcohol in the store. But variety stores and other, you know, independent grocery stores are not allowed. They will not get the permission. So it's like the liquor monopoly is kind of moved its way into the grocery stores, but
they
only
found
some.
A few franchises.
Well, look at who Ontario goes over to Quebec to buy all their alcohol and stuff like that there because it's so much cheaper. And you see it happening over there all the time.
Yeah, people who go back and forth from Quebec and Ontario, they usually bring alcohol back from Quebec. Most people I know, they'll bring alcohol back for their own personal consumption. But it's cheaper, it's more available.
I think that's a bigger controversy in New Brunswick or something. I was reading some articles.
Well, it should be here in Hamilton, Ontario. And then since the Ontario owns the liquor board, then I can't see why they don't want to expand to make more money. You know, like it's bad enough that we 60% of Hydro One is gone. You know, so like that used to go to the schools. That used to go to our infrastructure. This used to go to different things, and now we don't have that no more. What are our roads going to look like soon?
Yeah, and would they be able to pay off the Pan Am Games before they even they're now trying for an Olympics?
Well, when I went by there on the last game there, they had over, like, you know, the SWAT team there. They had everybody all running all over the place, horses and everything. And I'm going, get real. Like, it's the OK Corral.
For, like, the soccer game final.
But other games, like, you know, like they're probably giving you a ticket. Come on in and just sit there so we can show people there. Like, we'll give you free beer and hot dog. Like, you know.
Few mannequin.
Well, there's so much money there. Like, you know, I talk to a lot of owners around there because, you know, I know lots of people around in the area and stuff. And they came right out and said only the two games they made money with, and that was at the ending. And most of the people there had to lower all the prices for them to park down to $10, where the Tiger Cat games, they get 24 guaranteed. So, you know, they were pretty upset about that. But nobody really made money besides a couple of places, a couple of days that got extra here. So, you know, and all these people are going, oh, the hotels made money. Well, they had shuttle buses bring people in there and everything else like that. And it was just like there was no money here for Hamilton to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it'll be even worse with the Olympics. But now they probably won't get it because there's word as L.A. is going to bid.
Well, you know, let's hope Hollywood gives them a hand.
Yeah, because it's going to be like it's over $10 billion. It's like $16 billion probably or something.
Well, we suffered enough here. Like, it's bad enough we're supporting two wars. You know what I mean? Like, we have ISIS. We're over in Ukraine. Like, I want you all to know, like, our probably 4 subs, 12 planes will really do a lot against Russia.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, if people don't understand why they want to buy a bunker house, I do understand that part.
Yeah, and I mean, the Canadian military, I don't know. The purchasing of these F-35s, I think, is the wrong move for the size of country we have. A single engine jet fighter doesn't seem appropriate.
I just don't understand how at one time we were a neutral country and we had no money to put out here for wars. We had no money to put out there for nothing. We were in between the United States and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the whole problem boils down to it is that we never had to have been here. And all of a sudden it was all because of the hostages in 72 underneath Joe Clark, and they went and rescued 6 of them. And that took us away from it all. And after that time on, we were no longer a neutral country, and that has affected us here in Canada on lots of different matters. Mm-hmm. Well, this will look at right now. Now, all of a sudden, we're have to beef up terrorists. Now we're going to have the United States at our borders. Then we're going to have the United States inside of, next thing you know, Niagara Falls, all of a sudden St. Catharines, all of a sudden Hamilton. You know what I mean? Like, and it's just ridiculous how they're coming across with it all. And to let people know, Hamilton has been sold to almost anything, just like everywhere else here. Like, I don't think we own a thing here in Canada any longer. It is so hard to see what we own here. If you look at the gas scandals, the hydro scandals, you look at the water scandals, you know, asphalt scandals, just look at it, everything that is going on, that's a scandal. And they're going, you know, and all the three top parties. Now, I know you guys watch CPAC, isn't that correct?
Sometimes. I don't watch it regularly. I catch clips of it once in a while on the...
It's turned into mostly on the campaign trail coverage.
Well, you know, but all of a sudden you'll hear them always going, and this is all three top parties. Well, you owe for this, and you owe for this, and they're all going, oh, like they're all using the washroom at the same time. And they really are taking it on us.
Yeah, in Parliament, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just watching all three parties say how they all ripped off each other. And it's not any of them ripping off each other. It's them ripping us off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
And the people have to understand the top three parties is not the way to go. Like, there is no way to go in the top three parties. Like, after the NDP all of a sudden got in the election part and they won out west, now they're all over Canada. The NDP are ahead 40%. They're going to do it. The Conservatives have jumped back. The Liberals have cut back. You know, and all of a sudden now they're pushing that party. So they weren't going to move until the West was won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Mike and Mark, what do you guys see for signs in Mississauga? Do you see any political signs?
Oh, yeah, they've got quite a few up here, a lot of Conservative and Liberals.
Oh, Conservative, you're seeing, huh?
Yeah, see some of them, yeah.
So they do got a few.
Well, they do have a few.
The big deal is Toronto, myself. To be honest with you. The big deal comes from Toronto because, you know, like what people don't realize is that now Toronto's the new mega city. If 70% of Toronto votes, that's all of Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like all together, like, you know, like Toronto's got maybe 6 million there and there's something like 11 million in all of the rest.
Yeah.
So, like, all of Toronto votes, we're all out anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, really, you know, like Toronto has the full control of everything.
Yeah. I just wish there were some more like third parties. Like, you don't see any independent signs. Then I was looking up Libertarian Party. They're not even running in all ridings. So they're not even a national party, sort of.
Well, that's, I don't know, you know, like I said, I put my name in for the Green Party. They said that I was too advanced for their party.
Too advanced?
I'm going to show it there, right there. I'm going to show it right from the Green Party, and that guy came right out and said, that's because you're too advanced, but don't give up on what you're doing.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to have his name right there and everything, and I'm sitting there going, well, it's about time other people heard it then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if he's sitting there saying it, and trust me, these are things I save on my phone.
Mm. Yeah, I did see there's one guy running in the beaches in Toronto that was a G20 detainee. He's running for the Green Party. Or no, he's running in Scarborough Southwest, actually. He's running in the riding, actually, against Bill Blair. I think it's probably because he is running and because he like had gone on tour, I guess, around Canada. He had written a play called You Should Have Stayed at Home about his where they set up a cage on stage and stuff, like a G20. And I think because of that, he's... That's probably why Bill Blair has come out in his campaign that he won't comment on the G20 for for the election.
It's all forgotten, yeah.
True. Yeah. Well, 5 years ago, so.
Well, everything's forgotten a week later with that.
Oh, yeah.
The next day.
Yeah, exactly.
But if people are going out there, they're going, you're going to get charged? Well, I don't think I'm going to get charged when I'm showing CPAC of them, them guys sitting there saying how they all owe millions of dollars. And it's not me saying it, it's them. So people just don't get to see the channels. Like here in Hamilton, down the hill, there's no cable 14 down here. Yeah. It's only up on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like sometimes I have to go up to my buddies to watch cable 14, and I'll watch the old show, and then I'll turn around and watch the Opinionators, where It's only the Liberal Party, the NDP Party, and a Conservative Party that only matter. Well, it's just like every election. People have to understand that, you know, like the people that they're hiding, there's a reason for it. There's a reason why people are hiding people. So let's find out why. And I'm going to be coming out September 27th. I look forward to this. People are going, are you going to be nervous or anything? Well, you know, I don't like crowds. I'm kind of scared of crowds, you know, just to let everyone know. So hopefully about 40,000 will show.
Yeah.
we have some bodyguards there with you there?
Well, as soon as there's a crowd, the police show up anyways. It's automatically.
They're not to protect you, though. They're to protect...
Well, the public, right? You know, like, they're not... I ain't going to call them. I can assure you of that. Like, you know. Well, of course, I'll know people there. Like, people have been waiting for me to come out for a long time and be able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being hidden, right, with my plans and ideas. And I'm sure, like, you know, like, when I sit there and come across with it all, they're all going to sit there and go, well, yeah, we could save money there. But to have a bullying program here, I think, is due for here across Ontario. And I think a boot camp would be a great start. I do. Mm-hmm. It seems to work for Maury Povejon, Jerry Springer, and all the rest of the little shows there, and even Steve Wilkerson there. You know, it seems to work for those guys. But is that too harsh for our kids?
Separate the men from the boys?
Well, something's got to be done out here.
And well, why are we being, why is there all... See who's the best, gets the best top score in class, or which is the best athlete. We're trying to be, you know, compared to each other.
Well, they do. They do that. It's with computers, laptops, tablets, TV. Well,
yeah. So
that's how it's working right now.
They're probably monitoring the video games to find out who will be the next best drone pilot.
You can be an astronaut on here.
Ontario cosmonauts.
And this is what the whole problem is. But, you know, like, even though I come on the show and, you know, like, I come out there and I tell people, I go, you guys got to understand, I am an activist, but altogether I do have plans and ideas. Where not too many activists really do. They just come out and criticize. So I consider myself a true politician.
We have before us the opportunity to forge.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Anytime. A new world back again.
ABR.
The rule of law.
Anchor Beaver Radio.
Thank you for listening. On TFR. The conduct of
nations. Be safe, everybody.
Chris Geo here, founder of Truth Frequency Radio. I just wanted to take a moment to let everyone know about some changes we've made to TFR. As most people have noticed, we've dramatically improved mobile and tablet experiences. We've also released apps for every device, including Android, iPhone, Windows, and BlackBerry. You can find these at truthfrequencyradio.com/apps. A lot of people have asked how they can sign up for a membership without using PayPal. Our new non-recurring options let you do just that. You'll also find a gift voucher checkbox where you can purchase a gift membership for your friends and family. You can even choose to have it sent on a specific date, like a birthday or a holiday. Because all of our wonderful listeners have really come together to make TFR what it is today, we've completely removed all banner ads and commercials from our website too. And for our top donors, we're offering lifetime memberships as a way of saying thank you. Visit truthfrequencyradio.com/donate for full details. And remember, wherever you are, make it TFR.
With SRN.